Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
Good evening. You are on the air with Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. I missed you, and I know that you missed us. But you know, when the youth calls, we have to be there, be ready to give them everything that they need. We were away. We did not have a show last Sunday, and we did not have a show on Thursday. And the reason why is because I was moving with the youth. I was on the campus of UCLA living in the dormitories. Would you believe that? But I feel the best way to learn how to play the music, to show the dance, is that you have to be right there with them. So there was scholar programs going on. I'm part of the scholar program. Even though I'm a late bloomer, I was a participant right there with them, living in the dormitories, sleeping in the bunk beds, getting up. It was a wonderful, wonderful adventure. We're back today. We're going to have a great show. Lil Nene and teens are talking. We'll be coming on briefly. She won't be able to stay on a long time with us because she is rehearsing for the Little Miss African American Scholarship Award Show that will be going on next weekend. You know, Lil Nene was the 2013 queen for the African American Scholarship Awards, and it's a beauty pageant, but it's not with the beauty, it's the beauty of the mind. So she's going to be a little bit busy, but she will be on with us. And then following Lil Nene, we will have Jasmine Henderson coming in, the author of The Broken Vow. And Jasmine will be talking about sex, deciding what sex means for yourself, what's working, and what's not working. I'm so glad to be back here with you. I have missed you, but I have a lot of information to share, a lot of talking about the fun that we had, how things going on, a lot of information for you parents and all of the children out there to get a pencil, get ready, take note. It's a lot of things happening. You're on the air. We're going to get rolling here, and we're going to have a great evening.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in the torn up town. No postcode envy,
but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care, we're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care, we aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal,
royal.
For us, we crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler,
ruler.
You can call me Queen Bee,
and baby I'll rule.
our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
But every song's like Gold Teeth, Grey Goose, dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Yourself through your own efforts. I urge each and every one of you to create something, start something, and make a success of something. This is the essence of human existence, the challenge of youth. Herein lies a wonderful way of life, always aiming for the future. And I'll give you a little story about what happened last week. You know, there is a department on UCLA campus, and I really feel that it is the only department in the nature. It is Center for Community College Partnerships, and the initials are CCCP, as in Paul. And that department is under the directorship of Mr. Alfred Herrera, with the missions, and his department and staff are of the best. And what CCCP does is they go in and prepare you for students who are moving into transferring in to the university. So you can go in at your freshman, or you can go in as a transfer student, and that puts you there in your junior year, which means you only have 2 years to perform and do what you have to do. Well, CCCP is the department that prepares you for this. They only scout out and take students that have demonstrated that they can learn, are willing to learn, and they have goals. So most of the participants in that program are from the honor area. The GPA is high, and they have demonstrated. CCCP makes sure that once you hit that campus on UCLA, that you are ready to go. You don't have to worry about getting acclimated, learning where to go, who to talk to, because they're going to prepare you. You know, in life, we think and have been told that we can't do certain things. Well, at CCCP, they inform you that you can, and they make sure that they give you the support, they give you the assistance, and they give you the drive, because they really, really want you to succeed. It was a week of excitement. It was a week of so much information, you could not pay $1 billion from it. It was like being on a cruise ship of knowledge that started roughly about 6 a.m. every morning, starting with your breakfast in your wonderful, wonderful dining room with everything that you needed, and then you were off to your classes, your workshops, and they started from 8 o'clock till about 5:30. But the presenters that came in there were top of the line, and they were bringing it to you. You gained so much information that your head was swimming. So after your workshops, you would go and have your dinner in the dining hall, but that didn't end your day. It was no fun there. It was still work, 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 information. But the beauty of it is, for me, is to be in a dormitory sleeping in a bunk bed. I took two suitcases, one with clothes and one with snacks, because if I'm up studying late, I like to have my cookies. The young adults there came from all over. They were beautiful. I say the youngest one maybe it was 19. There were mixed ages, mixed cultures, and we were all living there together, standing in line for our showers, okay, because this is a dormitory. But the dormitories there at UCLA are like hotels, because when you walk in, there's a front desk, top-notch security, and they're all on top of a hill. And your classes may be 30 to 45 minutes in walking for you to get to the other side of the campus. It was really an interesting thing. It was an experience. And, of course, we had an emergency there with the water pipe bursting. So it was like a river. So in order to get back on the other side of campus, you would have to go the long way around. It was interesting. It was an opportunity of a lifetime. You see, waking up with Linda Mac Shan, we believe in empowering and encouraging. But as I state, you cannot to dance if you don't know the steps. So the best way to get in, find out what's needed, find out what you need to do, is be a participant yourself. This is my second year of dealing with UCLA in their scholars program. My major is sociology. I'll go in a different way, but at the Big Daddy, it's going to be okay. So my agenda is a bit different, because I'm not actually looking to go to Wall Street, and they will prepare you to do anything that you need to do. I've already been there. My mission is the youth, and the legacy that I will leave with the motto that I carry, and this is for the young adults and the old adults and anybody out there, never, ever give up. And the more I move into that direction, the more doors are open. So take a pencil and paper, write this down, Center for Community College Partnerships, under the directorship of Mr. Alfred Herrera. You have a wealth of support there. It's like one big family. If you want it, go get it. Demonstrate that you do want it, and they will make sure that you succeed. And so now the children do not have to wonder about why they can't fly and somewhere over the rainbow. They know how to get over it. With that program, CCCP, you cannot lose.
Teeny weeny bird can fly, oh, oh. I love you, and I'll see you real soon.
Doubt in my mind that that group of 22 cohorts and participants that I spent a week with, they're already over the rainbow. And you know, it is very important that we never, ever get amnesia. And I always will extend out my appreciation to the person that woke me up so that now I'm waking you up and we can wake up and make all of these changes together. There are some changes that need to be made. And while we're making those changes, it is so important to keep the promises made to friends. This is the true meaning of friendship, to become people who can do so. However, we must first learn to keep our resolutions, the promises we have made to ourselves. And that's what keeps you flowing. We're going to keep rolling.
I'm just not the same.
You know, we should always offer that appreciation, be appreciative for everyone and everything that you get. No one owes you anything, but if you put that appreciation moving from your heart, you will never go wrong. You know, in this city, there are so many free concerts that go on the weekend. And if you're not familiar with Grand Performances, please check them out. Grand Performances are held in the California Plaza, and that's located at 350 South Grand Avenue. And the entertainment that's down there, the information, it is a relaxed feeling. It's family friendly. It's many, many people there. They're eating, they're talking, they're blending, and they're kicking back with an evening of relaxation. Well, I was down there last night listening to all the great music until the raindrops started, but it was okay. You felt so good you didn't mind getting rained on. But I am finding out that beginning August 6th, that's August 8th, all of these shows will start at 8 o'clock p.m., and this is not going to be in the plaza. It will be in the listening room there. And I met the director of programming, Miss Lee Ann Hahn, and she said, you must come. I want to see you there. So just jot down these dates, August 8th, which is a Friday, Saturday, August 9th, then the following Friday, August 15th, Saturday, August 16th, and then Friday, September 5th, and Saturday, September 6th. These concerts are free, and they will be held in the listening room. If you have not experienced Grand Performances, please go down and do so. And basically, it's sponsored by K-Crew, KCRW, and it is an awesome, awesome event to attend. And I'd also like to remind you that we have our Stay in Touch line, 323-769-5879. You want to leave a message out there for a friend. You tell them how you feel about them. Call in, leave your name, and let us know what you would like us to report out there for you. And we will do it on the following show. Our shows are on Thursday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. and on Sunday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. We leave that gap there because we're out there working with the youth, and it is the summer, so this gives us an opportunity to get to do everything. You know, when you stand in your greatness and you understand how to do that, you must make sure that you teach everyone the same thing. So we have our work cut out for us here, and I just want to let you know that I missed you and I love you, and we're going to keep rolling.
My eyes. know I got the best I can be proud of. We can't fall quick. Remember when I used to tell my girls like, yo, this dude think he's so it, think he's so fly. And every time you try to talk to me, I'm like, yo, don't even dare try. I was on my solo groove, I ain't want nothing, I ain't need nothing. Man, I'm good, now I'm speechless, cause I fell for him. The poet in me died cause I fell for him.
Just speechless, baby.
Come on.
Don't know what to say. I'm just speechless, baby.
Out there, you know, I'm kind of like looking on. We might have someone on the line. Perhaps it's little Nene. Let me check and see. You're on the air. We're waking up with Linda McShane.
Hello, Miss Linda. It is
Nene
here.
How are you? I know you're at rehearsal. You know, you're going to give us a few minutes here. Can I bring you on in so you can get going? Because I know your schedule is tight.
Yes, you can.
All right, let's get going here, Nene. Welcome in. I know you're having a great time. Let's get going. All righty.
Welcome to Teens Are Talking. I'm your host, Little Nene, here to tell you everything that teens are talking about, from fashion to music to movies and more. Whatever teens are talking about, that's what we are talking about. Teens are talking, teens are talking, teens are talking and they got something to say. Teens are talking, teens are talking, teens are talking and they got something to say. Teens are talking and they got something to say. They bring it to Little Nene right away. I bring it to you so it can be heard worldwide on the Teens Are Talking show. Teens are talking, teens are talking, teens are talking and they got something to say. Teens are talking, teens are talking, teens are talking and they got something to say. Teens are talking, teens are talking, teens are talking and they got something to say. Teens are talking, teens are talking, teens are talking and they got something to say.
Nene Kirby, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am wonderful now that I've heard your voice. Everyone has been waiting. I know you are tight down there. Let us know what's going on with you.
Okay, yes, well, as you heard, this is Teens Are Talking. I'm your host, Nene Kirby, and I'm going to give a quick little rundown about, you know, everything that's been going on this week. Yesterday, I went to see Get On Up, which was, of course, the James Brown story. And can I just say it was a wonderful, wonderful movie. Chadwick Boseman, who played James Brown, did an absolute amazing job. I loved every moment of it. And I had such an amazing week at the Grammy Museum for their annual summer sessions. And I met lots of other musicians like myself, other artists. We played instruments. We even had a little concert once it was over, so that was amazing. And like you mentioned earlier, I'm on location at rehearsals for the 2014 Little Miss African American Scholarship Pageant. Some of you may not know, but I am the 2013 winner. And like I said, I am at location. I am so honored to have the founder of Little Miss African American, Miss Lisa Ruffin. So I'm going to let Miss Lisa talk to you and tell you a little bit more about Little Miss African American.
Please bring Miss Lisa on.
Well, thank you, and I am honored to be here to talk to you today. How are you?
I'm great, Miss Lisa. I've heard all of these wonderful things about you and what you do, and, you know, Nene is only going to be handled by the best. So I'm saying welcome in, and it's such a pleasure to meet you also.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, you too. Yes, yeah, she's been an amazing queen. She's got a chance to do a lot of great stuff. She was at City Hall with the mayor when she brought in the Shirley Chisholm stamp and for Black History Month. That was really fun, and we got to do the parade for Martin Luther King Day. She's queen. I couldn't have prayed for a better queen than Miss Nene. Extremely talented and articulate and just as sweet as can be.
Well, you know, I'm going to agree with you on that, but Miss Leisha, the work that you do down there with the young adults and giving them the encouragement and empowerment, how did this begin? Is this your 21st year or 25th year of doing this?
21st. Unbelievable. Oh. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and there was a gentleman. I was dancing with Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, and in the evenings I would rush off to go dance with the black folk at the Afro-American Dance Center. And they brought a choreographer in named Otis Salid. And Otis had gone to Juilliard, and he's a director and a producer. And he asked me, he said, well, why are you in Pittsburgh? I said, well, I'm still in high school, and I'm going to go to college and be a psychology major. He said, oh, no, you need to go to New York. So he became my mentor. He talked to my parents. He sent for an application for me to go to Juilliard. And I said, well, they only take 8 students a year in the department. And I said, I'd never make it. But he filled out the application and, you know, helped me get there. And that's how I started my career. But I started in pageants because Miss America pageants are the largest scholarship pageants in the world, you know, nationally for women. So it's not about a beauty pageant. It's about scholarship money. So that's how Little Miss African American started. I wanted to do scholarships for our brilliant future little leaders.
Oh, my word. So what I'm hearing here is like it started back then. You took that opportunity. Someone saw something in you, and now you're paying it forward. Isn't that a wonderful feeling?
Absolutely. We can't do it by ourselves.
No.
We don't know.
No. No, we cannot do it by ourselves. And this pageant, it's an annual pageant, and now we're going into 2014. So I know that little Nene has to be there to pass it on and keep that spirit going. And Lisa, your last name is Ruffin or Ruffins?
Ruffin, R-U-F-F-I-N.
R-U-F-F-I-N. I am so glad to have you come on and share and to show the importance of taking care, spotting, encouraging, and pushing our youth forward. It's all about the youth. And I was speaking with little Nene, and she's been busy this week, and I was at UCLA campus living in the dormitories because I'm about youth empowerment, so the best way to teach it today is to go in there and do it yourself. And it was a treat, a chore, totally different. I haven't been in a dormitory since long time. Okay? So my cohorts was either calling me Auntie Linda or Big Sis Linda. Okay? Do you understand where I'm coming from here? But we just got in there and got together, and it's such a beautiful thing to have you going into your 21st year, just moving the young adults. And I love the way Nene talks about the pageant. She said it's not beauty. It's not about beauty. It's about scholar. And that is, it makes such a difference. And the young adults need to know that, you know, just because you got some lipstick on your cheeks, that does not mean anything. You have to have those brain cells moving to blend with everything that has to be done. So I am so excited to have you on. I know you guys are still rehearsing there. Now, this pageant, is it open to the public? Are there tickets involved? How many want to come in?
Oh, yes, and we have a great lineup. Layla Ali is hosting it with Megan Good. And we have amazing judges, Penny Johnson Gerald. And Penny is on Castle. And she's phenomenal. She used to be on 24. She played the president's wife. A lot of people know her from that. And we have Mother Love. We have Ella Joyce. We have a great lineup. We have Lamon Rucker, who played in Why Did I Get Married? Tyler Perry's movie. He played Jill Scott's wife. I mean, husband. Excuse me. Yeah, the second one, the nice one. And it was just, it's just amazing all the wonderful, wonderful people that are there for Little Miss African American. So, and they can get tickets at www.littlemissafricanamerican.org, and that's our website. And just go to tickets, and you can purchase your tickets. And okay. We hope to see you next Sunday, August 10th, at the Wilshire E. Bell.
So it will be at the Wilshire E. Bell.
It'll be at the Wilshire E. Bell at 4 o'clock.
Okay, I'm going to put that out there. Let me get this website again,
www.littlemissafricanamerican.org.
.org. And it will be at the Wilshire E. Bell. And I'm looking very, very
forward
to... At four, I'm looking very forward to meeting you. I do the show on Sunday, but you know what? Sometimes when the youth call, you have to take a break and get there and witness the real deal. And of course, I am Little Nene's best supporter, and I am so glad to have you come on and share with us, Ms. Ruffin, regarding the Little Miss African American Scholars Pageant, and I just cannot wait to meet you. I feel your heart. I know exactly where you are. And as far as you doing this for your 21st year, it is a wonderful thing to do because the young adults need this, and this is something that they will never, ever, ever forget. It keeps them moving forward. And what I love about Little Nene, she just reaches back. She is the big C on community, and she moves from her heart. So she's connected with you. I know you're okay. Mm-hmm. I feel it in your voice. I see the smile in young adults there now, and I'm not going to keep you. I know that you guys have to get back and do what you have to do. Is it anything else? Let me ask you now, when does your training start? I mean, your rehearsal. How do you select criteria?
Well, you have to have good grades, first of all. And we start recruiting in January. So, you know, they have to fill out an application. I talk to the parents. And we want people who want to really change the world. We want folks who are educated, who want a good education, who really want to think about their future. We're not a day camp. We're not a babysitting place. You know, you have to work. You have to do a book report. We have classes on public speaking. We have etiquette classes. You have to do some work. If you're not willing to do that, then this just isn't the program for you. There's a lot of great programs out there, but this just isn't the program for you. And that's it. But I hope we get a chance to talk to you when we start recruiting back in January, and maybe the new queen can come on. Maybe Nene can get the new queen to come on.
I would love to have it, whatever Nene wants to do, whenever you want to return, whenever you start recruiting, we can push it out here and help promote that for you. I would like to ask, what is the age range?
6 to 12. They're 6 to 12.
Okay, it's 6 to 12. Well, I'm going to speak with you. I just would like to share this. I too, work with a scholars program. I'm late returning back. My major is sociology. I work with a scholars program that selects the top of the honor students. So I understand what you're saying about having the top grades. But, you know, with the young ladies that you are grooming and preparing, I would love to sit and speak with you and give you more information about it because they can be being prepared to be prepared. And what this program does is give you more tools in your toolkit to move forward. It deals with transfer students that are coming in to the university campus at UCLA. And it's the only program that's like that, and they take the best of the best, they put them in the scholars program, and they give them the tools. So once they hit the campus, they do have to worry about. All they have to focus on is their classes. They already know everything else is going on. And they hold you, they assist you. So we will talk about that. And
I have got to get back to rehearsal immediately.
And I'm looking forward to meeting you. And you guys have a great rehearsal. I know the show is going to be great.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye, Nene.
Well, we were on the air. I'll talk to you next time.
Nene, we'll get you. They know you're a busy lady. Please go back and enjoy your evening. I will speak with you tomorrow.
I will.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, guys, that was Miss Lil Nene with Teens Are Talking. She gave you a little update on what was happening. She talked about going to the James Brown movie, and she's been at the Grammys. But she's at rehearsal because she is 2013 Little Miss African American Scholars Queen, and we're going into 2014, and that's going to be happening on Sunday on the 10th. So we had the opportunity to speak with Lisa Ruffin, the founder of that organization, and this is going into her 21st year. She's given me some information. If you would be interested in purchasing tickets, it will be held at the Wilshire Ebell Theater, and that is, the website is www.littlemissafricanamerican.org to go in and purchase those tickets. The ages that she worked with, I think she said from 6 to 12, and she's moving. And it's not all about, it's not a beauty pageant. It is a scholars pageant. She has great criteria on what they must hold in order to come in there. And the most important thing that she said is you must have good grades. So if you're interested, young adults out there, and those grades are not quite where they need to be, now you have something to work for them. That was Miss Lil Nene and Lisa Ruffin with Teens Are Talking.
First of all, I want to thank you, Soulja Boy, Michael Jackson, Akon, CeeLo, T.I., Iggy Azalea, Snoop and Eddie, just to name a few. I thank y'all, but I gotta get mine, yeah, I gotta get mine. I auditioned many places. Very young, I always knew that one day I would make it. Kids will play, but my fun came from dedication to my goals and my dreams, the things to get me where I wanted to be. I gotta get mine, yours is yours, that's fine. When I get mine, I'll thank the Lord for getting mine. You got yours, and I'll get mine, and then you'll see Little Nene on my clothesline. Look me up, see all the videos, I've been in over 100 million views. I helped you, come on, help me begin. And now I wanna get my own stash of cash to last while I live and after I pass. Soulja Boy blowing me kisses, Michael Jackson hold my hand, duet with Akon. Forget you, CeeLo, murder business, T.I., Iggy Azalea, Snoop and Eddie, red light, my time to get
gotta
it right.
Get my, gotta get
I did a video about it. Acting, school, tap dancing, yes I did this. I have a dream one day I will live it. Why in the world would I want to obtain this? You really wanna know or do you wanna hate on it? You better understand business to get rich, otherwise check me out, hey, I'm loving it. Every day I pray and work hard, non-stop. Blood, sweat, and tears till my body wants to drop. If I wanna get over the hill, can't worry about the way I feel or miss a meal or cut, scratch or lack a will. You never understand where I'm coming from, see? Can't stop the waste until the finish line's behind me. Train hard, play hard, stay up nice to get it right. Give it all I got to be on top.
She wrote that song. She's singing that song. That's a remarkable young lady, and she is only 12. She couldn't stay on with us because she is rehearsing for the Little Miss African America Scholars. pageant that will be held next Sunday at the Wilshire E. Bell. She's a very, very, very busy young lady. She sets the example, and she is definitely about the change that she wants to see. And that's what we all have to be here. You must be the change that you want to see. And in order to do that, we have to pay attention to our young adults. We have to be there, not to do it for them. Little Nene is 12, so you don't have to work hard with her. She's already groomed and ready to go. She moves from her heart, and she does many, many, many things within the community. I am so appreciative that I have her co-hosting with me. It lets me know that I'm on my right mission, because, you see, when I leave, I also want to leave a legacy here, and I fire up the batons, and I make very sure that the persons that I'm passing them to know which end to hold. So that means that they have to get the education. They have to be good examples out there to just move forward, to understand that nothing can get in your way of stopping your success. And my motto, and I pass it on, is to never, ever give up. Never give up on anything. So you're listening to Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. We just don't get you up out the bed. We want those brain cells moving. We want the blood flowing through your body. And most of all, whatever you gain, we want you to pay it forward and help others.
To see you tomorrow, and every tomorrow, maybe you're letting me borrow your heart. Is it too much to ask for every Sunday? While we're at it, going every other day to start. I know people make promises all the time, then they turn right around and break them. And someone cuts your heart open with a knife, now you're bleeding. But I could be that guy, healing over time. Now I'm stopping, still you believe it. Maybe your words are dead. Oh. Don't act like it's a bad thing to fall in love with me. You might look around to find your dreams come true with me. Spend all your time and your money just to find out that the rest of my feather art. Every morning I just wanna see you staring back at me, cause I know that's a good place to start. I know people make promises all the time, then they turn right around and break them. And someone cut your heart open with a knife, and you bleed. Don't you know I could be that guy, heal it over time. Now I'm stopping, still you believe it. Baby, you're worth it. So don't act like it's a bad thing to fall in love with me. You might look around and find your dreams come true with me. Spend all your time and your money just to find out that my love was free. Don't act like it's a bad thing to fall in love. Yeah.
No rhyme won't fill your mind. Broke your promises and wasted time. And if you fall, you'll always land right in front. These arms of mine.
Don't act like it's a bad thing to fall in love with me, 'cause you might fall around and find your dreams come true.
You know, we're all about love here at Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. It's love that keeps the world going. We have to take care of one another, pay attention to one another, and most of all, respect one another. So let's keep on talking about love. Another wonderful guest that will be coming on with us. She is the author of Broken Vow, Miss Jasmine Henderson. And she will be speaking with us about sex, the importance of it, deciding what sex means for yourself and what's working and what's not working. And when Jasmine comes on, she gives us a lot of good information. You know, the poetic spirit encourages people in all ranks and places to return to their naked humanity, neither sentimental or fantastic. It embraces and affirms the whole world and all its inhabitants. It imparts the will to remain optimistic and unbending in the face of all hardships. As a believer in innate goodness, I am certain that the concentrated power of good can overcome the greatest force of evil. The poetic spirit helps us control the greed-dominated self. It helps us handle the actual while keeping our eyes turned toward the ideal. So we here at Waking Up with Linda McShann, we are all poets here, and we must keep everything going to take care of our youth, empower our youth, and within ourselves be the change that we want to see. for those of you who are just checking in the first hour, I explained how much I missed you and where we had been because you know the youth was calling. And I was attending a week-long workshop through our summer scholar program that was held on UCLA campus. And I was living in the dormitory, and it was work, work, work. It was fun, fun, fun. I had 22 other cohorts with me. There were students there. There was information given. It was like being on a cruise ship of knowledge. CCCP, which stands for the Center for Community College Partnerships, and it's the only program that's around. And it prepares students that are transferring into that campus to be ready. When they hit the ground, they're ready. In order to get selected there, you have to have a grade average. You have to be a scholar. So for young adults out there, get those grades up, because when you have good grades and demonstrate that you're willing to work for it and that you really want it, CCCP, UCLA, will be there to support you. They will be there to assist you because their motto there is transferring and changing the world. They want to see you succeed. And when you hit those university campuses, no one is going to hold your hand. It's nothing like being able to walk in a situation and to be familiar, to be comfortable, so that you can fully concentrate on what you have to do. That is Center for Community College Partnerships, and it is under the directorship of Mr. Alfred Herrera and his staff, and anyone involved in his staff is going to be there to take care of you. It was an experience to be on top of that hill in that dormitory sleeping in a bunk bed. But you know, when you have to encourage and empower, you cannot teach the dance unless you know the steps yourself. So I go where I must go. And I wanted to share with you before Ms. Jasmine Henderson comes on that Grand Performances offer free concerts, and they're wonderful. Grand Performances basically are held in the California Plaza, and that's located at 350 South Grand Avenue. And on the weekends, Friday and Saturday, they do have some entertainment for you. Now, there is a area called the Listening Room, and the director of programming for the shows in the Listening Room is Ms. Lee Ann Hahn. And I had the opportunity of meeting her, and I told her that I would get this information out. And just write these dates down, August 8th, August 9th, August 15th, August 16th, September 5th, September 6th. Be prepared. The concerts are free. The parking is great. The venue is persons that will be down there with you. It's family friendly. It is a place to go and enjoy yourself. There's food vendors there. There's restaurants. It is a wonderful way to spend your weekend, and it's all free. We're going to keep going here. You're listening to Waking Up with Linda McShann.
I'm watching. She likes the way Bye.
You know, life is a stretch. You have to be able to roll with the punches no matter what, especially if you have a goal. You let nothing stop you. You get to stand in your greatness and do not allow yourself to be swayed by anything or anyone. And the motto here is to never give up, and it's never too late. Education is the key out there, you know, for many, 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 many years. And what's been placed in some of our consciousness is that we are not worthy. Yes, we are worthy. Education is the key, and once you get it, you cannot have it taken away from you. That gets you going into the direction. It's called a life stretch. And no matter what happens, you never, ever give up, young adults out there, and old adults too.
What you say now? Tell me what you say, come again. If you cannot stay down, then you do not have to pretend like there is no way out. I should've never let you in, 'cause you got me face down. That you would come again. You said that we would remain friends, but you know that I do not depend on nothing or no one. So why would you show up so uninvited? Just change my mind like that. Please don't take this personal. But you ain't shit, and you weren't special till I made so. You better act like you know that I've been through worse than you. I never let you know. I should have figured though. All that shit you was spitting so unoriginal. But it was you, so I was with it. Then to tell you the truth, wish we never did it. 'Cause I usually do stick to the business. But you came out the blue, and then you just touched it. Goddamn, baby, my mind's blown. Be forgetting you live in a different time zone. Think I know what this is, it's just the time's wrong. Yeah, I know what you did, but baby, I'm grown. And my love is patient and kind of shit. Through different types of shit. You was really the realest, wouldn't be fighting it. I think your pride is just in the way. Funny how everything changed.
Coming in, is this Jasmine Henderson on the line with Waking Up with Linda McShann?
Yes. Hi, Linda.
Hello, Jasmine. How are you?
Doing fantastic. You know, today, Sunday, has just been such an awesome day, so I'm really excited to share this time and this night with you.
Well, we are so happy that you're on. You know, any time that you want to come and share, we're waiting. I have prepared everyone. I've given them your topic, deciding what sex means for yourself, what's working and what's not working. I am so glad that you took out time of your busy schedule, and I know you have a little one there that likes to get that mommy time. So please tell Mr. Paul that Waking Up with Linda McShann, we really appreciate him, and I would like to have him come on, too, on the next call. So I'll sit down, and we'll talk about what he wants to talk about. You know, we have little Nene that comes on when teens are talking, so we can have Mr. Paul come on and let us know what's going on in his world. So we're going to be quiet here and let you get going with your topic. If I'll have to interrupt, it will only be for a station ID, but I'll let you know. So let's rock and roll. Let's share this information out here, Jasmine.
Of course, of course. So as you know, I wrote a book about my own experience called A Broken Vow. And really what I found through that, especially between my faith, between my peers, between just my own decision, I found that it wasn't just enough for me to know what everybody else was saying about sex. And really when I came down to it and discovering for myself and the choices that I'm making now is, well, what do I really want sex to be? What does it mean to me? What do I want it to mean? And for that as well, I find that not a lot of people are actually talking about this, Linda. A lot of people, there's sex everywhere and talked about, looked at, you know, and even like sexual ads, all that stuff, whatever. But really just in real conversations, and that's my whole intention of sharing my story, was to encourage others to share their own story. But one topic that I feel kind of gets people riled up is sex. I mean, it's one of those taboo subjects. And so one of these little images that I had made really puts like different categories on what sex means to people. So for some, it can really kind of mean more of like a conquest thing where it's like, you know, kind of like as you heard, like, you know, the notch on my belt, like just like another person, like some more of like a bit of like trophies. And some people look at it as, you know, waiting for sex till marriage. Some people look at it as, you know, well, in having sex, that's the way we procreate. That's the way, you know, we have more generations and more humans on the planet. And for some, it's quite surprisingly, for some people, it is a bit of a battle of the sexes, like who has the upper hand. For some people, they feel like sex means power. So for some people, it's like, if I, you know, have sex or when it's my decision or whatever, then I'm in fact imposing my power. And that goes for male or female. So it's a bit of a sexist, you know, between male and female, you know, a bit of a tug of war. I actually did some research, and some people who sell their bodies for sex, some of them feel it as if it's showing feminism, like, oh, this is my choice, this is my power. So for some, it's a bit of how they feel they can express their power as women And for men, the same thing, like I said, with, you know, notch on the belt, though, you know, as they have that movie Don Juan where he goes home with a woman every night. So it's a bit of a power thing. And for some people, Linda, sex does mean love. And it's an expression of love and expression of the ultimate physical intimacy. So really just what I want the listeners just to become aware of is, you know, what do you think sex is for yourself right now? And to be honest, there's a lot of sex education out there. There's a lot of, you know, protection this, disease that, pregnancy this, you know, abstinence that. But I think the real disservice that's going on, whether in religious company or not, or secular company, I think what's kind of missing, Linda, on both sides, is really not just giving, you know, the youth and even as young adults and adults in this age, not just giving straight information, but really asking them, well, what do you think sex means? And I think that that's such an important question that really gets overlooked, because it's, at the end of the day, you know, to make decisions based upon what others have said, or be, whether it be, you know, friends or parents or, you know, other peers or media, even mentors, to go by what others say, you know, you're not, there's no chance to really take ownership. And because at the end of the day, no matter what you listen to, no matter who you listen to or whatever, it's still your choice. And that's such, like, what does sex mean to you is such an empowering question, rather than saying, well, here's the information and good luck. Like,
yes,
good luck, or trying to, you know, manipulate one way or the other to really derive the value,
okay,
of what, you know, what sex means. So really, and in the conversations that I've had with people of all types, you know, between youth, when I go speak, I work with Westside Pregnancy Clinic, when I go speak to the youth, you know, at schools or, you know, or at little camps, little things that they do here and there, and all the way up to speaking to my own peers and adults and young adults, to even people older than I am, I think the burning question, what does sex mean to you, it actually causes people to pause and actually think about, okay, I am creating something in this world. Like, what, no, you know, whatever, good, bad, right or wrong, who cares, but just to allow people, to empower them, that to become aware of my decision in this, my choice, my outlook on what sex means to me, actually creates something in the world, not only with myself, but with, you know, if they are having sex, you know, marriage or out of marriage, with whomever partner they're with, and in turn the community and everything. So there's really a ripple effect that's caused by this decision. And so I just really would love to encourage the youth out there, and just really people in general, is what does sex mean to you? And I think coming from an empowering question like that, it just gives a greater platform, and really in to be intentional with what we're creating sex to be, instead of something that just kind of happens by default. So
happens by default. I like that. Excuse me for interrupting, but I yeah.
Yeah.
I will agree with you on that, and it can be used for many, many purposes. Like you say, it means power,
yeah.
And, you know, and even with the persons that use their bodies to, you know, selling their bodies to make them feel that they are in power and this is the thing to do. But as you stated, it's a lot of information out there about sex education, but is that question really placed on a forum or put on a platform to a large group of people? It would be very interesting to see what type of research, what type of answers would come out of that. And I know that participants that would be a part of that would leave gaining some information from everyone that's
yes.
in the room, basically working on their experiences and what they thought. Personally, say, well, do you have any children? And I say, no, all the children of the universe belong to me. Because sex was taught to me and the meaning of that, you know, coming as a child. And I
mm-hmm.
always say, well, I just couldn't find the gentleman that I wanted to father my children. You know, they were
right.
okay for me, but, you know, you're brought up a certain way, so you want to look for that daddy image or whatever. But it meant a lot to me. You have to be very careful with, you know, who you lie down with, the genes that you transmit. And I just, you know, I love sex, and I, you know, have participated in sex, but my outlook
right.
on that is a bit different. But it seems like when I mention that to individuals, they look at me very, very strange. No, that's very, very important, because as you say, people can have it, for pleasure. They can have it for a conquest, to put the notches
mm-hmm.
on the belt and all of that other stuff. But I kind of like the idea of having a forum set up and inviting persons in to really, really, really answer that question.
Yeah.
Because
here's the thing,
something.
Linda, is, yeah, I, and that's what I'm saying, like, and as I've been, you know, speaking and reaching out to groups of all ages, you know, it just always seems to be a subject that just kind of stops people as if they had never been asked in their entire life what sex means to them. And
okay.
so, like I said, and I think that if we were to really be honest, you know, with ourselves and each other and everything like that, like that would be, that type of education would, like I said, just be that more empowering, that more critical than just, okay, you know, here's the birth control education, here's like, you know, disease education, here's pregnancy education, you know, as just information that's almost kind of like the prevention or the result of having sex.
Yes.
And so it's, like I said, it's kind of, you know, things that are bumpers, if you will, or buffers that are kind of put into place, but it's that, but not really ever hitting the root of really what's going on, which is a choice, because having sex is a choice. Doing anything is a choice. Having sex, not having sex, it's a choice. And so to really ground yourself in, why am I making this choice?
Mm-hmm.
And then that forwards on to the next thing of what I'm talking about is it working or is it not working?
Mm-hmm.
Because does the choice that I'm making, and that's where the empowerment comes from, Linda, is the choice that I'm making right now forwarding me into the life, the vision, the dreams that I want? So
mm-hmm.
I think that that's such a more empowering question than just to be like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, or you should be doing this, but protect that. You know, all this other information that's out there, where if I'm actually honest with myself and what I want to create with sex, and coming from that empowerment of, yes, I do have a choice, and then whatever choice I'm making in the moment, is that working for me? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you have to have your entire life planned out. That's not what I'm saying. But
right.
in your vision of love and sex, and they could be one and the same, or they could be completely separate. But is it working for you? Is it forwarding you? Is it healthy for you? Is it healthy for others around you? I think as well, starting with the choice of me, like in my choice, and then focusing it outwards is what is my choice of, like, how is that affecting the person I'm with?
Mm-hmm.
And then again, just that rippling effect of, is my choice, is it working for me? Is it working for the person that I'm with? Is it working for this community that I'm wanting to build? And is it working for this world that eventually I want to see and aspire to?
Well, I think that's some ideal questions. And now at the clinic, at the Westside Clinic, is
yes.
it set up as far as a conference room, or can a forum be set up to be held there? What do you think? I think it would be a great thing to do to
right.
get that panel set. And if not held there, if that's not a good place, places can be found and get that information out, especially, you know, like there's many, I mean, to all doctors' offices, especially to all the clinics that are in the city, just places
mm-hmm.
that have, you know, a large form of people that would be interested. You could put the fillers out there and you know, talk with the clinics and see if we, you know, could get that going, and I would be willing to step in with you on that, because that is a great thing. It's a great topic, and as you're speaking of it, it's like, right, they do clam up, and it is important to know what does sex mean to you. It gives people
yeah.
food of thought, you know, even though if there's a bit
right.
of confusion out there, or whichever way they use it, or whatever the use is, or whatever the idea is, it will create some conversation. It would be great
mm-hmm.
dialogue, then, and the persons that are involved can help each other.
Yeah, because, and I would love to, you know, collaborate on that with you and whatever that looks like, because honestly, I think my biggest thing that I don't want people to come with, you know, is making a choice. And then, you know, like I said, having it, you know, just be by default that that's the choice that they're making,
right.
you know. And so to really empower the youth, empower just people in general, it's like whatever your stance with, and you don't have to agree with my stance,
mm-hmm.
but my thing is, like, at least know and be empowered by the decision that you're making, and being conscious of the rippling effects that is causing, like as I was illustrating before, the rippling effects, and like coming from that place of responsibility, that place, you know, especially, you know, the youth always wants to grow up so quickly.
Definitely.
And that's great, but, you know, it, growing up quickly, you know, there's in anything, there is responsibility to be had by the choices. And no matter how young you are, the choices that you're making will have rippling effects, you know, in your life. Like I said, your own life and your those closest around you, your family, community, and eventually the world. And it's really creating this world and this environment that we're living in. And so my thing is have your choice, make your choice, but know why you're making it,
mm-hmm.
and know that effect and what you're causing in the world. Because youth, like you said, even you know, the young lady who was on before, causing ripple and waves in her own community. And so young people are powerful.
Very.
And I think are very powerful and have the capability to do a lot of things. Like the imagination, the scope, the power is just unfathomable. And so
yes, it is.
In something and something that is so crucial and is so important has always been, you know, from generations to generations.
Yes, it has been.
There's always been, you know, an issue and a stance of sex and marriage and children and what that looks like. And so really just to empower this generation, like, don't have it be by default.
That's right. And I'm so glad that you brought it up because, you know, everybody's out there doing it. And the young lady that came on, she is my co-host, but she's at rehearsal. Her show, and she comes on Sunday, is Teens Are Talking, but she is preparing for the Little Miss African American Scholarship Pageant. And she was 2013 princess last year. She was the winner, and she's done some phenomenal things. So she is one that I would like to sit down with her about it and get her take on it, and I can let you know that it will be young adults there with old adults and everything else getting this thing to move. But I'm listening, and guess we are talking to Miss Jasmine Henderson today. She is the author of A Broken Vow, and Jasmine comes on with us when she has the time. She's a very busy lady, and I'd like to take out this time, Jasmine, to thank you, because I know that you have things to do, but I'm going to request that we could have, you know, you come on. I know you have a crazy schedule, but I would like to speak with you next week personally on this issue, and I'll get an opportunity to run it by Lil Nae Nae and get her take on it, and we can rock and roll with this. And
I would
just
love it.
It doesn't have to be done at one place. I was talking with a young lady that was in the workshop with me, and she said, you know, we need to teach basic skills on the campuses. And I said, well, how would you like to do that? So all of this can come in together so that the information can get out there. You know, it's all about information sharing, standing in our greatness, and teaching others how to do the same. So I have my next caller, Ms. Gina Holmes, will be coming on briefly, and I know that she's listening in, and I'd like to just take out this time to thank you, and to let you know how much we here at Waking Up with Linda McShann appreciate you, Jasmine, and give that some thought. I will contact you no later than maybe Thursday. You know, point some things, and let's see where we can go with this. If we cannot get a spot, we can sure do it on the phone, and we can get it rolling here. Any way we have to do it, get it out, but that makes a lot of sense to me. And that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful question. So at this time, I'm going to let the listeners know you have been listening to Ms. Jasmine Henderson, the author of The Broken Vow. That is her book. And Jasmine has committed to coming on as many times as she can when her schedule permits. And Jasmine, I thank you.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's been a pleasure as always, and I look forward to talking to you.
Okay. And kiss the baby, and I will speak with you before the week is out.
Will do. All right.
All right.
Bye, guys. Enjoy the show. Bye, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you, Jasmine. Hello. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda McShann.
Hello, Linda. How you doing tonight?
Hi, Gina. I am so glad to hear. I'm sorry you had to hold, and I know that you had some information you wanted to share with us. You've been a very busy lady. Listeners, this is Wraparound Gina that's on the line. Gina's been doing a lot of things, so we've kind of like been missing out on her. Gina, kind of share with us briefly. You wanted to talk about, you know, people moving together. We're kind of, you know, we're about 10 minutes out. I hate to rush you, but can you just share that thought with us before we end our show this evening? And we can pick this back up on Thursday if you'd like to.
Well, you know, so many things are going on in our communities with weather and with situations and events. And what recently kind of, you know, caught my eye in the media was the large gush of water that superseded UCLA.
Okay.
And it concerned me because I know sometimes you have classes over there And
well, I was there.
What happened? And, you know, how was you affected? And what happened?
I can just speak briefly on that, and we can pick this back up on Thursday. Well, the water main broke, and it was in the parking lot number 4, which is basically the main parking lot that enters there, but there's several parking lots, and we were unaware of it. We were on the east side of the campus, so when it happened, you know, you have to get from the east to the west, and the emergency response that took place, it was helicopters and, you know, making sure that everything was taken care of. We were not able to get near. We were not able to actually get very close to it, but it was an incident that had happened. And things had to move the way that they had to move. But I can tell you the emergency response and the choppers were flying. There were many, many people that were parked there, and they couldn't get their cars out. And that's the only thing that I know now. But it was, it was sort of like a different type of thing. And it did not flood out because the dormitories are on the hill. I think it did do a little damage to some of the buildings that were near.
Did it bring people together? Did they all come together, like, you know, hey, let's survive? You know, because sometimes people's survival technique kicks in and some people get into shock. And then did you have to help somebody that maybe get into shock, or how did that play out?
No, most of my group was very calm. And I don't know what was happening over on that end. But because the information got out so quickly and everybody knew what was going on, if there were anyone there that went into shock or had any problems, we didn't witness that. And that is a campus that's pretty family-orientated, and the communication is awesome as far as any type of emergencies or them coming together. It's such a large campus. So, like I said, we were on the east.
That's why I was, like, really scared. Did the police department, security, like, make sure everybody was really, like, really safe?
Yeah, I mean, well,
so
like I said,
that's what I was hearing.
Yeah, we were moving and what they were doing as far as their emergency, but no, they did not let a second pass before they were
on
top.
They let people in because they wanted to control who was already there, or how did that work?
No.
They let people, you
I don't
had to
know.
Have
they,
like all your badges or whatever to get in?
Mm-mm. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get on. Those areas were blocked off. So you would have to go around or take another detour. And like I said, we were on the east side, so the only thing we could know is the directions that we had to take to do what we had to do. But on Thursday, I can guarantee you I will have some more information that we could share out there. And it's like it's such a shame, as you stated, that it has to take an emergency to bring people together so that they will pool together and do what they have to do. And, you know, we here at Waking Up with Linda McShann, we try to get out there and keep it as calm as you possibly can. But I was on that campus on that day. As a matter of fact, I spent an entire week on that campus, but it was not anything that was stopping any activity because everything was under control. As we knew, it was under control. We didn't hear of any tragedy. We didn't hear of anything like that. If there were, I don't know.
No,
but that's
all on media. There was, like, people were swimming and it was like making the best
out
of the situation.
Yeah.
Some sides of some of them were, but the more serious areas, they were just making sure, you know, the car situation and so forth, and they got a lot of things. And I'm really glad that, you know, they got that going, you know, right away. You know, I have.
Oh no, they don't play
people,
around. And,
they really
they
got into
around.
That. They were all over it pretty much, like you said. It seems like they're taking care of that real quickly, which is good
they
for
were.
The professors and the students. Involved, yeah.
I know. Well, you know, wrap around Gina, everybody's been asking where you were, and so I'm here to tell them that we're on the wrap around Gina, but we're getting ready to sign out, and I'm going to ask you, wrap around Gina, will you come on with us on Thursday and share some topics with us? Will your schedule permit?
Well, you know, I'm in and out of town and got some projects, like you said, on the line. But I'll definitely put that down and definitely try to do so.
To set up, and I'm so appreciative about your concern. And as I was saying, I was on that campus and have been on there since Sunday and because of attending the workshop. And the workshops were so phenomenal. We were getting so much information. We were getting so much support. So much was happening floods of information, support, assistance, knowledge. It was like being on a cruise ship of knowledge while the flood was out there. So have luckily
well, that makes me feel good. Making
oh,
the best out of a bad situation. So
oh,
that
yeah.
Turned, that, that's the way to turn it around. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was because, I mean, things had to be done and things had to be put in place. And most, and there were several groups there from all over, different types of groups. So those dormitories were packed. And on that hill, when school is in, you got anywhere from 10,000 to 15,000 students up there. And this was
wow.
like the summer. It wasn't quite that full, but it was very, very active. But as far as people pulling together and, you know, really worrying about it, it was in an area that you couldn't get to, even though you know that it was happening. I did speak with some professors that, you know, were coming in with different transportation because their cars, you know, they couldn't get to their cars, even though if their cars weren't affected, they could not get down there. So, you know, and speaking with them and they're sharing their feelings and stuff, but everybody was plugging and moving on along and doing what they had to do to get the job done. But as far as the students and as far as the participants and, you know, in the dormitories, we just moved along and made sure that no one, because no one had to go in that area. That is a very huge campus. The only thing happened is when we were returning back, to the other side, they had to, like, take a detour and go, you know, another way around. There was a bit of traffic there, but over and all, everyone was calm, and if there was anyone that needed any assistance, there was someone right there for them. But I'm so glad, and I got a lot of text messages, is your car okay, and are you okay? And I said, I'm fine, you know, and I was just so glad to, like, get those messages and to know that the few people that knew I was there, they were checking in to see, because it wasn't like a workshop or a seminar or a program that you could go and come. This particular program requires you to get really that campus life and really get
nice.
The feel of it, because it's so much information that you're to receive that you don't have time to commute, because you either
and that's
you're
good
in
to
class.
Be able to still be focused to be able to do your lessons
oh,
with
yeah.
all that going on around you. Was your
oh, yeah.
your car infected in this situation or
nope.
no?
No.
Oh, that's good.
No. Was not a problem at all. And like I said, those students that were there, especially in my program, the program that I deal with is Center for Community College Partnership, and they take the best of the best and bring them in, especially when you're transferring in, so that you're acclimated and you're ready when you hit that canvas. You know what's happening, you know what's expected of you, and all you do is come in and focus on your subjects and your classes so that you can do well, because their only main goal is to make sure that you succeed. I don't think there's any program like that in the country, and this program is directed by Mr. Alfred Herrera, and Mr. Herrera and his staff, along with other departments. The information that we received wraparound Gina was information of a lifetime, but it was coming in and pumping in. You'd have a headache when you wound down about 10 o'clock p.m. that night, and then you're up at 5:30 or 6 because your breakfast starts at 7, and then you're off from your breakfast into your workshops, and they were pumping it on you. Yeah, it was like work. It was fun. We had to take care of one another. So
and
I'm
you got
going,
fed, so that's awesome, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they take care of you. You're going to get your meals.
Mm-hmm.
You're on campus. You're, like, doing that college life. So I made darn sure that my bunk bed was on the bottom, because I just could not see myself climbing up that ladder to get on the top. So I got my space real easy, and I was either called Miss Linda, Auntie, or Big Sister. So it was a multitude of cultures there, you know, predominantly this particular program with P-Color. So we had everyone there, different ages, different backgrounds, but the main focus is everyone that's a scholar. They're those honor students, and they have demonstrated that they can do the job and they want to continue. So if you can give it there, they're going to give it to you, and they will make sure that you succeed. And this information should go out to as many students out there, because a lot of students don't know about it, but it's an awesome program. I don't think it's nothing like it in the country, and I'm
well, it's
so
awesome.
Appreciative that I was
and it's
able
really
to
awesome
be...
to see that people can bring themselves together, though. That's
oh, yeah.
Really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
they,
in it. And
yeah.
It And it's for you to be one to witness that
oh,
in
yeah.
this day and age that we're living in.
Right.
You know, it's that's good. You know, it's a little that's good to hear a little, you know, breather of goodness, you know, amongst
oh, yeah. you
all
have
the
to,
turmoil
you have to
and drama
that
has
way.
Been going on
yeah.
and it does exist around us.
Yeah, we have to keep it that way. Well, wrap around, Gina. I'm going to thank you for coming on and sharing. And as I stated, if we can pick this up on our Thursday show, listeners, you're listening to Wrap Around Gina, and she had a concern about the incident and the flood and how people came together and took care of everybody at that UCLA campus, and I was able to give an update because I was there. So Wrap Around Gina, I'm going to say thank you to you, and we're going to take it out. And listeners, we will be on the air again Thursday for 7 o'clock p.m. to 9. And on Thursday, we will have Miss Stephanie Haynes come on, Wrap Around Gina, and another surprise guest. So I will talk with you later, Gina, okay?
All right. Now, you have a good night.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.
Around the sun, the earth knows she's revolving, and the rosebuds know the bloom in early May. Just as hate knows love's a cure, you can rest your mind assured that I'll be loving you always. Now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. Born is new, you know what I say is true, that I'll be loving you always.
Until the rainbow burns and stars in the sky.
Always.
Until the ocean covers every mountain high.
Always.
Until the darkness blackens every living sea.
Know exactly when to choose.